So if you want the scriptures from the lesson this morning, get your pen and pad out because they're not on the projection. And otherwise, if you want it later, I'll be glad to share it. I want all of us to think about two things today. So that should be real simple, right? Each of the two things has several things under it, just as a warning to you. But two things. First, what are some things you would like to lose? So think about that just a moment. And while you think about that, I have a survey that I'll share with you. Preacher in the church did the survey. I'm not sure who he surveyed, if it was members of the church or people on the street or what, but the number one answer was to what are some things you would like to lose. The number one answer was weight. And boy, you turn on TV and there's all these miracle pills. You don't have to exercise. You don't have to change eating habits. You just take this pill and whew, it comes off. I don't know. Never tried them. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know that I would trust it. But the number one thing about what you would like to lose is weight. Second on the list was bad habits. Third, two things were tied for third place. Sin and student loan debt. I'm not sure if those go together or what. Interesting. Tied for third. Other answers on the list were negative attitudes, financial worries, lust, cursing, procrastination, stress and anxiety, bad influences, and on and on. And also on the list was bad eyesight. So it covered a lot of things. And so maybe some of those things crossed your mind when I asked the question to you. But I want us to examine some things that we should want to lose according to the scriptures. I'm sure there will be more than that might come to your mind than what I'm going to talk about this morning. But these will go through fairly quickly. But we must not be afraid to lose our lives for Christ. Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 38, says this, "And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." It's a commendable thing to lose your life in the name of Jesus, in his service. I certainly hope this never happens to any of you. But if someone was threatening you with death for your faith, for your belief in Jesus, what would you do? Would you give in and denounce Jesus, or would you stand up for your faith and risk being killed for it? Some areas of the world, that's a serious question. And I wouldn't wish that situation on anyone, but I would hope that everyone here would value our spiritual lives enough to stand up for the Lord. Truth is, sadly, many people will compromise their faith for much less than the taking of their physical life. Many would just rather avoid a religious conversation than to be ready to give an answer of our hope in Christ. So where would you stand? We must also lose the sin in our lives. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 follows a long list of what we call the hall of faith, people of faith. By faith, so-and-so did this and that, and just a list of people that did things by faith or because of their faith. And Hebrews 12 and verse 1, talking of these people that are listed in Hebrews 11, says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, since we have all of these examples, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Lay aside every weight. Some people who train in running, they put weights on their ankles and they run, and it makes it a little more difficult. So their training is more intensified. And then when the race comes, they take those off, and it's just like those kids' shoes that kids used to wear, make you run faster and jump higher. We believed that. But take those weights off, and it was easier to run then. And you can run faster, you can run longer. And he says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance. Sin is an encumbrance, and it certainly entangles us in a web that is nearly impossible to escape. It's strong. But we must lose the sin in our lives so that we can defeat Satan and the sin by which he wants to trap you, and run the race in the name of Christ. Finish with an everlasting reward in heaven. Scripture says, lay aside. Take it off. Put it down. Put it aside. Sin's heavy, but the devil will make it feel light for a while. But the weight of it will certainly come. Then he says, run with endurance. Join the race of service and obedience, and never give up. Endure it. Don't look back. Looking back was bad for Lot's wife, you may remember. She escaped the destruction of Sodom and then lost her life looking back at what she had just escaped from. The evil that was there. Put sin aside. Leave it behind as you live life's race toward the Lord. We can look at the Israelites as well. They had gotten out of Egyptian bondage and they were on their way to the promised land. And they kept looking back to Egypt, where they had been in bondage, thinking it was better for them there than what God had planned for them. Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back, no man having started toward the Lord and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Lose the sin in our lives. We must lose our worries. Ooh, that's a hard one, isn't it? We worry about all kind of things. Matthew 6, beginning with verse 25, kind of a lengthy reading, but says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Always worried about our lives, aren't we? And it's not just the weight pills. It's a pill for everything. I watch advertisements on TV and they've got a pill for everything to make your life better. Quit worrying about it. Just take this pill. And then they tell you what all the side effects are on that pill. And I think, I'm not going to trade. what I've got for all this other stuff that might come on me. I'm just not going to do that. But anyway, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, and not about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them, takes care of the birds. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these, like one of these lilies of the field. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is, today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but... Our theme last year, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. God's going to take care of you if you seek him first. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We have a tendency to worry. And often what turns out to be just trivial things. We worry about it today and tomorrow it's gone, and we look back and say, that wasn't even worth the time to worry. So many times it happens that way. We put so much emphasis on what was not worth the worry. Someone once said, worry robs today of its joy. Boy, is that true. So we must lose the worry in our lives. It will not add anything productive to our lives. Trust in God. Keep your eyes on the Savior. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lose the worry. We must lose the vanity in our lives. Are there things in your life that are vain and empty? There may be. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, beginning 2 Peter 2:18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Vanity. Vanity is associated with other terrible things like fleshly desires, sensuality. Vanity will corrupt our lives and our souls. We must eradicate it and replace it with worthwhile things of God. You can't just get rid of it and leave a void there. The devil will fill that void with something else. Fill it with something good. Fill it with the things of God. And we must lose our love of the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. You know, when you read that, you think, well, God made the world and everything in it. Why can't I love the world that God made? And the point is, that's not our focus. God gives us this because it's the things that we need to survive in this life. But he says, that's not your focus. Do not love the world or the things in the world. And especially don't love the worldly things. The things that are against God. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world's passing away. The devil makes these things look so appealing, but they're all going to be gone. The world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You see, the things of the world are put at odds against the will of God. Things of the world, will of God, you can't have them both. Scripture says you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and the things of the world, the riches of the world. It just doesn't work that way. It's clear that the world is temporary. It's fleeting. It's corrupt. If we love the world, we're not of God. That's what it teaches us. And it will destroy both our salvation and our soul. So the second point of the topic, also a question, what things do you not want to lose? Think about that one a moment. And I'll go back to the survey, because that question was asked too. And the number one thing that they did not want to lose was family. Second was faith in God. And third was their own salvation. Overall, that's a better list than the first one, I think. Some other answers that they had was not wanting to lose their spouse or their boyfriend or girlfriend or their fiance or their job or the souls of their families and friends, their house, their mind, their car, their guns, their church, their dogs, their hair. So it kind of disintegrated as it went down the line. But on down the line was hope. You know, it's bad. Hair was higher on the list than hope. I'll just leave it there. But those are some good answers, aren't they, for the most part? And maybe some of these were your answers as well. So let's look at some things spiritually that we must not lose. We must not lose our courage. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 7, "But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Sounds much like the passage that the end of the passage that Horace read for us. Be steadfast, immovable. You know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And although 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 7 is an Old Testament passage, in the world in which we live, it can be an easy thing to be afraid and be discouraged. But don't lose your courage. Even though fear and doubt is there, we must continue to be courageous. We can't lose that. We must overcome the fear and discouragement that can harm us. If we keep our courage, the reward is great for us. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling according to his own purpose and grace given to us." Then he says, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him against that day," or until that day. This should certainly give us courage to continue to live a faithful life. We must not lose heart. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. And near the end of the letter to the Christians at Ephesus, Paul encourages in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't lose heart. How are you to be strong in the Lord? How are you to be strong in the power of his might? He tells us, take up the whole armor of God. That's our defense against everything that the devil would put against us. God gives us what's needed to keep the faith, to keep our focus on him. Yeah, sometimes it's easy to lose heart in the negative things that are surrounding us every day. We become discouraged, we feel like giving up. But no matter how negative things can get, no matter how terrible that makes us feel, we must not lose heart. If we do not lose heart again, our reward will be great. Must not lose good counsel and our desire for learning. Proverbs 1 and verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Anyone who is truly wise seeks wise counsel and can give the same. Obviously, the best counsel we can seek is the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. But we can also seek solid counsel, sound counsel with fellow Christians, and we can share good counsel with them. We must lean on one another and look out for one another. We also need to continue to learn. That's one reason for our assembling together for study and worship. It's both a time of focus on God and getting into his word. We must have a constant craving and desire to study the scriptures, to glean all we can from God's word. May we never lose our desire to constantly seek and give wise counsel and to learn all we can from God's word. We must not lose Christ, but rather gain Christ. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. This was the focus of Vance's talk at the men's breakfast yesterday. The things Paul could have gained by persecuting the church was likely endless. He could have been great in local government. Probably would have attained to a high office had he continued in that way. But as great as that could have been, he threw it all away, counted it as rubbish, just trash. Counted it as nothing important, so that he could have Christ. Be careful where your focus is. Don't lose Christ. In that sense, Paul had lost much. But in losing the things of this world, his life was tremendous in gaining Christ. We all lose things sometimes. We've all probably lost toys as children. Sometimes we lose money or clothes or keys or phone or glasses or hearing aids or whatever it is. We lose things. Recently, I found two sets of, might be calling it rather the wrong thing, but these AirPods. Found two sets in the driver's ed car, and I had no idea whose they were. Nobody ever questioned, but there they were. And I'm sure that was a great loss for them, and probably for the parents, because they probably paid for them. But that loss is not so bad. Sometimes our losses can be great, like the loss of loved ones. But no matter what we lose, no matter how painful some of the losses are, we must never lose Christ. Losing Jesus is a blow from which we may never recover. Instead, we must gain Christ, even if it means losing everything else. And we must not lose our soul. Matthew 16 to verse 26 says, "For what profit is it if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" This is one of those times that Jesus is using that extreme example. Nobody's literally going to gain the whole world, everything in it. It's just not possible to own it all. But living in the society we do, we have a lot of opportunities to gain the world. Some might gain more of it than others, but none of it can be allowed to come between us and God. There's so many ways in which we could gain the world, or at least a piece of it. But all we gain in the world is, at best, temporary and fleeting. And pursuing such things will distract us from what really matters: taking care of the soul. Our salvation should be our greatest purpose, our foremost concern. Our soul is the most important thing we possess. No worldly thing even comes close or could ever replace it. What things do you need to lose from your life? What things do you need to gain? Only you can answer those questions. And you must answer them before God. Perhaps the main concern is that you gain Christ and that your soul is not lost for eternity. So if you need help this morning, you need the prayers of the church, let Vance or me know, or any of the members here. If you want to talk to someone about salvation and the putting on of Christ and baptism for the remission of sins, don't put it off. Let someone know today. We're here to help you. May we pray.